Oh, well, we are in the final part of our arrival series. I'm not sure if my slides are frozen or what, but I think we can manage either way. Nothing too in depth here as far as the slides go. If you weren't here for our series thus far, we'll do just a quick little recap. The first week of Advent is the Sunday of Hope, and so we talked about three areas of hope specifically that Isaiah had prophesied about in Isaiah 9. And the first one was the promise of hope and how in the midst of the Israelites being in and out of exile and captivity and under all these occupation of all these foreign leaders that this prophecy had happened and how big of a deal this coming Messiah was, and that these people spent 500 years in anticipation from the time that this prophecy about Jesus happened until he actually arrived. And so we talked about the hope. We talked about the name of hope, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, and what this would have meant to the people living in that time that Isaiah was speaking these words from God. And then we talked about the reign of hope and how a political leader is what was kind of expected in Jesus, but what we found was that he actually was over all government from beginning of time to the end, right? He's been in charge of more than they knew, and he wasn't here to overthrow one single government, but to bring these four things to earth. And so the second week we talked about peace, the Advent Sunday of peace, and we talked about three truths of peace. And the first one was that peace is not just for the elite. Peace isn't just for the elite. God sent angels to shepherds, right? Not to religious leaders or royalty, but these shepherds, these people who were rather lowly and working out in the fields with animals that smelled like animals. They didn't have glamorous lives or glorious jobs. And this is who God sent his messengers to. And so he sent this message early on that there's no barriers between social class for the peace of Jesus. This is for everyone. The second thing we talked about was that peace is a person. Jesus came to earth physically representing peace for 33 years, and he was ascended back into heaven, and he left us with his Holy Spirit, who provides us with the same peace as the person of Jesus. And then the third one was that peace transforms through relationship. And we talked about how easy it is, especially this time of year, buying presents and doing all the things, to think transactionally about Christmas, right? This present costs this much, and that's what I've got to come up with. It's the same. We tend to put Jesus in that same box of believe in Jesus and receive peace, but the reality is that peace is a byproduct of our personal relationship with Jesus. And then last week, we talked about joy and how joy overcomes shame was the first point. And we talked about Mary and Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was pregnant. She became pregnant with John the Baptist and in her old age. And this joy of God infiltrated her, and it took over her shame and her sadness that she was feeling in not being able to bear a child. And then the second thing was that joy defies our circumstances. And we talked about the difference between joy and happiness. And happiness is dependent upon circumstances, and joy isn't. And then the last thing we talked about is that joy is a choice. We saw Mary meet up with Elizabeth, and they shared in joy with each other. Mary even broke out into a worship song because of her joy. And the cool thing about this is that she didn't have to do this, right? Elizabeth was longing to bear a child. Mary was like 13 or 14, and this was sprung upon her. She was not looking for this. She was in a position that was not the best socially to be in, but she chose to worship anyway. This was a tough calling that she was facing, and she was able to choose joy in the midst of it. So that brings us to this week, the last Sunday of Advent, the Advent Sunday of love. What are some ways that you feel loved? Anybody care to share while I clear my throat?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. You say a warm hug? Yeah. Being together. You guys are listing off. You got one more love language to get. Yeah. Yeah. Gift giving. Yeah. Maybe you've heard of the five love languages before. There's this theory that states that we all feel loved in one of these five categories. You can feel loved in all five of them, but most loved in one of these five categories, and they're called the five love languages. It's words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, acts of service, and gift giving. Now, I think you know where I'm going by my illustration up there, but since tomorrow is Christmas and all these gifts are probably on the horizon for you, we're going to be viewing this love through the arrival of Jesus for what it is. It's a gift. And so my goal would be for at least all of us to pretend that our main love language today, or the way we feel most loved, is through getting gifts. And this one gift specifically, which is the love of God in the human form of Jesus. So, I did prep short, guys. Don't get nervous. If you've got lunch ready to be done, we're going to get out at our normal time. We're going to talk about three things to do with our Christmas gift this morning. Three things to do with our Christmas gift, or three responses to our Christmas gift. The first one is receive the gift. Receive the gift. Love is an incredibly powerful force. Some would argue that it's the most powerful and beautiful force in the world. The New Testament has a lot to say about love, but today I want to focus on probably the most often quoted verse of all time, and there's good reason for it. John 3:16, as we seek to understand this motive behind Jesus' arrival. So John 3:16 and 17 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We've heard this verse before, right? I saw it yesterday on a poster board underneath the goalposts at the Steelers game on TV. And you see it at all these sporting events. It's a very easy way for people to share what Jesus has done, right? It's just this one word with a couple numbers, John 3:16. This one verse answers the question, why did God send Jesus? And he did it because he so loved the world that whoever would, or that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but have eternal life. This is Advent love. This is that gift that we received this Christmas. God took initiative, or he took the first step towards us. He offered up the greatest gift the world has ever known, and our job is to simply receive that gift with joy. That's our one first response, is to receive that gift with joy. Think of the best gift you've ever received for Christmas as a kid. You got it locked in? Should be pretty easy. How are you feeling leading up to that moment? What was the anticipation like? Maybe you had some idea of what it was, or maybe you thought, there's no way in a million years I would ever get this gift. The gift you're thinking of probably has more to do with your age and then with your gender than anything else. When you were a child, it has a lot to do with the gift that you were begging for. Maybe it was the famed Red Ryder BB gun. Maybe it was the original Atari. Or maybe you're my age and it was the Nintendo 64 that you had to have. Right? Those graphics were incredible. Not anymore, but then they were awesome. Really remember what it was like to receive that gift. You were probably ecstatic. You probably had a hard time containing your joy through the whole process. Now, let's fast forward to our less enthusiastic adult years. How do you receive gifts now? Are you full of joy and excitement? Or is it met with kind of an apathy? Think about what it's like to receive gifts now as an adult. It's a much different feeling, right? I'll prove it. When was the last time you bounced around the floor when you got a gift? When was the last time you could physically bounce around the floor, right? Or when was the last time you ran around the house after you opened something you liked? When does that leave? 10 years old, maybe? I don't know. Better question is, why does it leave? Sadly, the same thing can happen to us spiritually. If you've given your life to Christ, do you remember how it felt when you first received that gift of salvation and that gift and that feeling of forgiveness, right? All the shame and the guilt just kind of melt away. Were you overcome with joy? As you reflected on that, or as you reflect on that moment this holiday season, how does it make you feel? Do you still feel that overwhelming sense of love when you think back to receiving salvation? And if not, why not? What if we were to get back to that feeling this Christmas? Maybe it is how we are receiving a gift. So if love was the motive behind Jesus, behind this gift that God gave to us, and if God took the initiative to give this gift, then what responsibility do we have to receive it well? I would argue that one of all the gifts a person could receive in their whole life, this is the greatest one. This is the one that really matters the most. And if this is the greatest one, then shouldn't we be receiving it well? Shouldn't we be taking this time to reflect on it? And if we've already received it, shouldn't we be considering what magnificent love we've received and expressed by God in the giving of His Son? 1 John 4:10 explains this Advent love like this: not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So the first question is, how are you receiving the gift of love this Christmas? The second way that we respond to this gift is to share the gift. So we receive the gift, and then number two, we share the gift. For most of us, we can't wait to tell others about gifts we received, and especially if they're good ones. Even better is when you get a gift you can share with others. Sometimes maybe it's something really useful, or maybe it's just something you can eat together, right? Those are always good gifts, the edible ones. The whole idea of giving and sharing with others is actually captured in the Bible. The Apostle Paul was saying goodbye to the church leaders in Ephesus. This is the last time he was ever with them in person, and he's leaving them with these words in Acts 20, verse 35. It says, In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I love this verse, and in it, it says, it's Paul saying, the Lord Jesus Himself said this, as if to say, this is not just some human's idea. This isn't my thinking or my conviction, but this is something that Jesus Himself told us. He knows it's better to give than to receive. So it only makes sense that we would be overjoyed and excited about sharing and giving the love of God with others this holiday season. And this is hard to make it feel like a priority sometimes amongst everything else we have to do during Christmas. I mean, how's that supposed to fit in between the holiday parties and picking up gifts for everyone and the teachers and all the adults in your life and everybody and menu planning and house decorating and everything else? It's honestly this dilemma, right? Or it feels that way sometimes. I know I'm not the only one who doesn't feel great about the amount of gospel I've shared over the Christmas season. So here's an alternative approach. What if we cleared out some time and space with specific intention of sharing the love of Jesus with someone else? A neighbor, a coworker, family friend, a contact on your phone. I don't know that it has to be something massive or extravagant, but maybe just to show care and compassion for another. If I had to guess, even a small gesture would feel amazing on the receiving end of things. As I've already mentioned, it's a hectic season. Maybe an interruption of love and compassion would be very welcome right now. Interruptions, not so much, right? But if we get to be interrupted with love and compassion, that's not so bad. The arrival of Jesus' love is not just a gift to be received, but to be shared. That brings us to the third response. Number three is celebrate the gift. Receive the gift, share the gift. celebrate the gift. Pretty simple, right? I thought so. Goodness. All right. When I say the word celebration, what comes to mind? Is it party? So we say song? Oh, the song. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Is there a specific event or an occasion or maybe something you've experienced in your life, some big celebration that you immediately think about? And as you're thinking, can you even imagine the celebration that must have occurred when the people around Bethlehem began to realize that the Messiah had been born, this Messiah they've been waiting on for hundreds of years? This is the kind of moment that I'm describing. It was actually captured in Luke 2, verses 11 through 14. This is the encounter with the shepherds again. Starting at verse 11, it says, "Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, or in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" In other words, the second that the news broke, "You're going to find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger," heaven couldn't contain itself anymore. The sky erupted in this big celebration with this huge company of angels. You know what's crazy to think about? These angels, these heavenly beings, whatever a company of heavenly hosts means, I didn't personally see it. These heavenly beings already are existing in community with God, and they're having this huge celebration. Isn't that crazy? They weren't even in need of salvation. They're already in community with God, and they can't help but erupt into celebration. What does that mean for us as humans whose community had already been broken with God? I think of angels who are living in that community already erupt in celebration that this news that we humans who have the need to have been saved or have been saved, shouldn't we erupt in celebration at this news as well? What a picture for us today of how we can respond to the news of Jesus' birth. He is the fulfillment of hope, the Prince of Peace, though through him we can experience a peace in among ourselves that transcends human understanding, and he is the cause of great joy, just as we've read. And behind all the amazing and cosmic and divine and redemptive love of God, who would even consider sending their son so that their creation could be reconciled? This is good news, and it's worthy of a proper celebration. As my voice is growing thin, my one goal in this message is certainly to help you see the love of Jesus today as a gift, because it is. But I do have a secondary motive, I'm not going to lie. Most of us will be receiving gifts tomorrow or tonight, sometime within the next 48 hours. I hope that this thought will linger every time you see a gift, every time you touch one or go to open one. I hope that every gift you see will remind you of this love that we've received from Jesus. I hope that every time you open a gift, you're filled with some extra hope and joy and peace as you're reminded of Jesus' love, even when you get socks. We're getting them, right? It's going to happen. Now, you could get the best Christmas present you've ever got in your life this year, and it still doesn't hold a candle to the gift of Jesus. This is a great way to look at Christmas gifts internally. Don't externalize that, okay? You following me? Okay. This is not me telling you to say when you open a gift, "Well, this doesn't compare to Jesus," right? They know that. But it's okay to think it. If you externalize, you're probably not getting gifts next year. Just throwing that out there. Point is, let the lens of Jesus' love be the one that you see all these gifts through. Right? That's really all these Christmas gifts are. It's just a symbol of the big gift that we've already received. Anything you receive is a blessing on top of the biggest gift of all. The arrival of Jesus to live with us, to die for our sins, and to conquer sin and death by resurrecting, and then giving us His Holy Spirit to live, to help us to live out that grace. That's the biggest gift. So as we wrap up today, in preparation for Christmas, I want to encourage you to receive the gift of Christmas with joy and with gratitude. And if possible, share the gift of love with and forgiveness with your others in your life, whether it be neighbors or coworkers or family members or friends. It's better to give than to receive. And I want you to experience how amazing it feels to give away the gospel this holiday season. And finally, prepare your heart to celebrate the gift. Christmas is a time to celebrate, to worship, to praise, and to thank God for all He's done and will continue to do in our lives. Would you pray with me this morning? God, we thank You for the gift of Jesus. We thank You for the materialization in human form of hope and peace and joy and love. God, we can't do anything without that. Help us to recognize that. God, we're a people that cannot save ourselves. We are in need of salvation, and You've given it to us. We cannot thank You enough for that. So God, as we leave this place and whatever the rest of the day holds, whether it's family gatherings tonight or whether it's being back here to celebrate and take communion, help us to just remember Your love for what it is. It's a gift. It's something we can't earn. We can never pay enough, be enough, do enough to earn that gift. And God, we can't do anything to make You not want to give it to us. We just are so thankful for that this morning. Help us every time we see a gift to just think of this gift that You've given. God, we just love You and we praise You and we thank You for the gift of Jesus this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The band's going to sing. Our altars here are always open. If you feel the need to respond to anything that God's been telling you this morning, the altars are a great place to do it. If not, would you just stand with us and sing and reflect on the Advent love of Jesus this morning?